my light isn't there. Well, light's good, amen? And it's coming. I'm glad for headlights to keep you on the road, to give you direction when it's dark. And the point of that is that the Word of God is that light for us that reveals the way in which we should go. Proverbs 6 and verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And the very next verse, the start of the very next verse, is "to keep thee." To keep thee. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light to keep you, to protect you, to give you guidance. And I am thankful for God's Word and the guidance that it gives in life. Amen. You know, that's one advantage, major advantage that we as Christians have over unbelievers in this world. The Bible doesn't call unbelievers unsaved. You know what the Bible calls unbelievers, Chris? Lost. They're lost. And the Bible describes them as being lost, and the Bible describes them as the light of the gospel needs to shine in unto them. And we as Christians, though, we're not lost. Amen? We have an advantage. We know where we're going. We're not lost in darkness. We know where we're headed. We're headed for home. We have that direction, but we're not there yet. We have a journey to make still. And as we make this journey, we're not left to ourselves. We have light for the dark valleys of life that sometimes we must pass through. And God has given us this precious treasure in His Word to be a light for us on the path that lies ahead. And so that's really what this portion is all about. We're going to see three things from this portion regarding the Word of God and regarding light being given to us. We're going to find in this portion that it gives us direction and that the light of the Word of God is also our defense. And then thirdly, that the Word of God can be our delight. And we see all of those in this portion. We're not going to get through all of them tonight. We're just going to cover the first three verses. But we'll prayerfully receive some encouragement and some instruction tonight from God's Word. Some light, amen, for guidance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You bless Your Word tonight. I'm thankful for it and thankful to be able to study it. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless Your people, those especially who are intentional about engaging with Your Word tonight. Lord, I know You'll bless them. And Lord, I pray that You would have Your will and way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing that we're going to look at is in verses 105 through 108. So direct your attention there again. We're going to see that the Word of God gives us direction. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto Thy Word. Accept, I pray Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments." There's three areas that the Word of God gives us light in or gives us direction in. The Word of God gives us direction and light for our obedience. It gives us light and direction for the obstacles in life. And then it gives us light and direction for the offerings that we would give. Consider, first of all, that the Word of God gives us direction for our obedience. In verses 105 and 106, the psalmist states that the Word of God is a lamp to his feet, a light to his path. He also states that he's made a vow that he's going to perform and keep the righteous judgments of God. So the light points out our direction for the purpose of obedience. That's the thought here. The psalmist says, the Word of God gives me direction, but then he makes this statement, I'm going to do it. I'm going to perform it. All right, so you see the application here. The Word of God is not giving light just so we can have some knowledge. The Word of God gives us that light and direction for our obedience. That's the purpose. That's the reason. If we want to know what to do, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Those two phrases are very descriptive because a light shows us the road. A lamp shows us the next step. Think of it in terms like that. God's word is a light that is shining out and then on our feet so we don't stumble. So the light gives us the direction. The light gives us the path. The light gives us the road. It's shining out. But it's also a lamp then that is shining on our feet that gives us and shows us and teaches us how to take the next step. You understand that? We may not have all the details of the plan. We may not have all the details and the contours of that road, but we have in God's word a light that reveals the direction to go, the road to travel on, and we also have a lamp to shine on our feet to show us how to make the next step. Here's the application. The word of God helps us to make decisions in our life. Are you following me here? We shouldn't make decisions about things in life based on how we feel. Because how we feel is going to change from day to day. Our feelings are deceptive. Our feelings change. God's word, or God, rather I should say, God will show us from his word what he wants us to do. He's not going to show us what he wants us to do through our own intuition. Now, intuition can be a good thing, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. Intuition can help, but the sure and steady source of light is always God's word. Proverbs 3 in verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The very next verse, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord." So God says, you want to know what to do, trust in me with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, your own intuition, but in all of your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. That's the promise from God. Well, the Bible and God's word helps us make decisions for our life. And the Bible presents us a great deal of direction for life. For instance, it tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So here's where we get to a practical application of the principles of God's word. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't initiate confusion. If you don't know what to do, and if there's confusion about what's going on, then a good rule of thumb for life is don't do anything yet. Don't make a decision yet. And keep going back to the Lord. Because he promised he would direct our paths, our steps. Now we all have decisions to make. And you know as well as I do that sometimes those decisions, it's kind of cloudy. There's options. I'm not exactly sure what I should do in this situation. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I need to make a decision. We all have those moments. And our prayer to God should be, "Lord, make your word clear to me and lead me in the direction and the steps that I should go." That's my prayer. Now, I'm going to go dig in his word and I'm going to wait for his guiding. God's not the author of confusion. God's not going to be confusing me about what his will is. And if there's confusion at the moment, then don't do anything yet. Get into the word of God. Dig into the word of God. Make the prayer to the Lord, "God, make your word clear to me and lead me in the steps that I should go." And then wait for his guiding. Now, let me make a side note here. Because sometimes what happens with people is that they find themselves in a bind, or they find themselves in a situation. It demands a decision right now. I've got it. This is a crisis. I've got to make a decision. And it's in that moment that I go to the Bible and I just start randomly flipping through the pages. God's going to speak to me somehow. I'm looking for something. Like the magic lamp. And if I just rub it a few times, then I'll have a magic answer. That's not the way it works. We need to be diligent already about abiding in the Word of God. If we reach a crossroads or a point of decision, and then we decide at that moment, I'm going to start flipping through the pages hoping to find something, I am misusing and misunderstanding God's Word. The Bible speaks of abiding in the Word of God. In other words, it ought to be a habit of my life. If God is going to speak to you and give you direction, it's going to be through His Word. And you know what? It's going to be in the course of your daily life, through your Bible reading, through your prayer time, through your study, through preaching of the Word of God. That's when God's going to speak to you. The psalmist is referring here to how God leads His people. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He doesn't, you know what God doesn't do? God doesn't open up Google Maps for us where we can see the end of the road and we can see every curve. You understand what that is? Some of you who don't use Google Maps do. Probably thought I was casting a spell or something on you. In my mind, I was blowing up the map and I was looking ahead. And then I have to hit recenter to get me back where I need to be. Recenter, I'm hitting it right now, recenter. God doesn't open up Google Maps for us so we can see every curve of the road. I was driving in Tennessee earlier this year, and man, the roads are windy there. Very, very windy. And they get steep up into the Smoky Mountains and stuff. And I was on Google Maps and I was literally anticipating the curves ahead because they were such sharp hairpin curves. And it was helpful to be able to see that, okay, right around here comes a sharp curve and it's like a 90 degree corner here. It was really helpful to know that that was coming. But you know what? That's not how it works in life sometimes. God doesn't open up Google Maps to show us the end of the road and anticipate every turn along the way. We want it like that because we want things easy. I want to know. I want to know the plan. I want to know how it's going to go. I want to know every right turn, left turn. I want to know exactly where this is going to end up. We want it easy. But you know what? It's a good thing. When it comes to the spiritual and it comes to living life, it's a good thing that we don't know every turn. Not knowing creates for us a tremendous opportunity to learn to trust God and to live by faith. And the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Why is that such a good thing? It's not fun to learn it sometimes, but listen, here's the good thing about it. It's a tremendous opportunity for us to learn to trust God, because what happens is, as we have the Word of God to give us the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and we're trusting the Lord, eventually what we do is we end up praising the Lord for what He has done and how He has provided in my life step by step, because I get over here and I look back and I'm like, whoa! That seems so impossible. But every step of the way, God provided. And here I am, way down the road now, and I'm doing just fine. But I'm able to praise Him because God did that. I don't know how it was going to happen, but I trusted in the Lord, and God did that. Amen? We can say, man, I can't believe it. Look where I'm at. Praise the Lord. God helped us learn that step by step. These become experiences to grow our faith, because later on, we're going to find ourselves in a bigger situation. We're going to find ourselves in maybe even a more overwhelming feeling or situation, and we're going to be able to say, you know what? The Lord guided for me, and the Lord provided before, and God's going to do it again. In my life, we've grown. We've grown in our faith. And you know what? There's less worry and less fret and less anxiety that so often just absolutely controls people's thinking. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We could say that God is a God of direction and timing. The light for the path shows the direction. The lamp for my feet for the next step is the timing. God does both through his word to lead us into his will. Now note verse 106. The psalmist says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. This is where the obedience part comes in. Notice how the psalmist says that I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The word of God gives us light so that we can be obedient and fall in line with the will of God. Sometimes what we want to do is not the same thing as what God would have us to do, and we need to come into conformity because it will keep us on the right path. Let me give you an example. We might have it in our mind to do a certain thing, whatever that is. I have it in my mind, I'm going to do this thing. But that decision that I'm about to make could be one decision that starts me down a different path, a path that is a destructive path and not the path of the will of God. And so maybe this decision is in my mind, but somewhere along the way I get some good advice, maybe from a brother or from a pastor that comes directly from a Bible principle that says, hey, brother, hey, sister, that's not a good idea. Have you considered this? The Bible says this. That advice that you're getting is in opposition to what I have in mind to do. Now I've got a decision to make. Am I going to obey the Bible principles, or am I going to do what I want to do? Well, the psalmist had already made up his mind. God's word gives me light, so I'm going to obey it. Amen? Amen? Amen. We should too. And we should trust that God's word and way is always right. And when we choose that over what we want to do, we will see later on how good of a decision that actually was. God's word can give us direction for every decision that we need to make. He promised he would. You acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your paths. That's a promise from God. Amen? Now note verse 107. And here we see that God's word gives us light for our obstacles. He says, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Apparently, the psalmist was suffering some kind of affliction, and he uses the term very much in connection with this affliction. The word affliction here, it means browbeating, and it means to weaken. You get the idea in the sense that it was like just this continual browbeating, this continual pressure that's getting put on by his enemies. He uses the word very much. The word means repeated. It means louder and louder. That's what it means. And so the idea here is that this affliction wasn't sporadic. It wasn't something that was hit and miss. He's indicating that it's repeated. It's getting louder. It's getting louder and louder. It's getting harder and harder, and it has a weakening effect on him. Also note this. He prays. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. He prays, quicken me. The word or the phrase means revive. And so he's speaking of his spirit here. In other words, these circumstances, this continual browbeating, this getting louder and louder and harder, these circumstances had really gotten him down. He was suffering these browbeatings from his enemies, and it affected him. No doubt the psalmist was feeling a bit of depression here. He's admitting something when he says, quicken me. He's admitting something. It means that he's acknowledging and admitting that he's weakened, that he's down. He needs some reviving in his life. I think you probably understand this as much as I do, but affliction or bad circumstances or whatever you want to apply there, affliction and depression are not unusual companions. What I mean by that is those two things often go hand in hand. Continual hardship, continual browbeating often goes hand in hand with some depression. His afflictions were from the outside. Those were his enemies. That browbeating was coming from his enemies. His depression was from the inside. His internal fears, his anxieties. What's he going to do with that? Where is he going to go? Where is he going to turn? Well, there was only one place, and he turns to the Lord to find light for his obstacles. He says, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. The application is pretty straightforward. The word of God can fortify one's spirit, one's heart, one's soul. It can revive a person's inward being. You know, there have been plenty of times when I haven't had the right attitude, or I've come to church sort of in a depressed mood from afflictions, browbeating, problems, circumstances. And God reminds me through His Word of what I have in Christ, what I have in the Word of God, reminds me of what needs to change, points out and reveals the problem in my attitude, and that in reality, even though those things are real things, they're not really that big of a deal compared to the power of God or the working of God. And the Lord has many times changed my spirit or changed my attitude right here, simply from the Word of God. And it can fortify the spirit. It can fortify the heart and the soul. And the Word of God, it deals with all of our emotional issues as well as those external ones as well. The Word of God deals with our anxieties. It deals with our guilt. It deals with depression and fear and everything that tortures us on the inside. Ever feel tortured on the inside? The Word of God deals with it. Whatever that circumstance is, just like the psalmist, tell it to the Lord. Here's the affliction. Here's the enemies. It's very much. It's getting harder and harder. I'm being weakened, even depressed. And he says, Lord, I need you to revive me according to your word. Listen, if our desire is according to his word, then he will respond as we have requested of him. Whatever obstacle is there, the Word of God gives us light in dealing with it. Just today, I was pondering. It's a dangerous thing, unless it's in accordance with the Word of God. You can think wrong things about things. I was just pondering. And it was just like, ugh. It's sort of a frustration, a continual frustration. And it's like, as I'm reading the afflictions very much, it's a continual frustration. And sometimes it affects you. But you know what? I was very able in that moment to just tell it to God. It's not a surprise to the Lord. You've been aware of it longer than me. What do I do? How do I handle this? How do I deal with this person? How do I deal with this situation? What do I do? And it was a blessing to be able to have a principle in God's Word that gave me some direction. Sometimes you want to just go and deal with the problem. Oh, I have a way of dealing with the problem. But it might create more problems. So I need to give it to the Lord and let the Lord deal with the problem. Amen? But that's where the Word of God comes in, to give us light, to give us direction, to keep us on the right path. And what step should I take next to handle the obstacle, to navigate it? Well, if our desire is according to His Word, He's going to respond as we have requested of Him, and He's going to give us light to deal with it. That's a blessing of the Word of God. Thirdly, verse 108, the Word of God gives light for our offering. In verse 108, He says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." Talks about a free will offering here. In the Old Testament, the most common type of free will offering was the burnt offering, and that was where an animal was sacrificed unto the Lord. But that's not what the psalmist is referring to here. He's singing, and he sings, "Lord, I want you to accept the free will offering of my mouth." The psalmist understood that worship unto the Lord was more than making sacrifices or more than observing rituals. In Psalm 51 and verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise." God doesn't want mechanical conformity. He doesn't want ritual from those who would be His worshipers. What He wants are thankful hearts unto Him, out of which will flow genuine, abundant offerings of praise unto the Lord. You know, the words that come out of my mouth are truly praise to the Lord when on the inside there's an actual, genuine, thankful heart to God for what He's done. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name." That's a sacrifice of praise from a thankful heart. And the psalmist states he wants the Lord to accept these free will offerings of His mouth and teach Him His judgments. That kind of a sacrifice is what is pleasing to the Lord. And here's the application. Just because we come to church and sit in the building and sing the songs and be quiet when the preacher's talking, that doesn't mean we've worshiped. Worship is not going through motions or doing things to be seen. You remember what Jesus said about the widow who gave her mite and the rich men who took their bags and bags of money and threw it into the offering? That poor widow who gave her mite gave everything she had. And the amount was very insignificant. It was nothing compared to what others gave. But Jesus said that hers was infinitely more valuable because it was all that she had, and it was from her heart. It was the attitude with which she gave. You know, you can sit through church but never actually worship the Lord. You can sit through church with this perfectly normal look on your face and body language, but on the inside, That's what it looks like. I'm not listening to a word he says. Okay. You can sit through church and never actually worship the Lord because it's the attitude with which you come. And the attitude with which you receive. And the attitude with which you give. Well, the Word of God tells us how to approach God. The Lord doesn't desire sacrifice. He doesn't delight in burnt offerings. What He delights in is a humble and contrite heart. What He wants is a thankful heart unto Him. And the Word of God tells us how to approach Him. It teaches us how to praise Him. It trains us how to give to Him the free will offering of our lips. Psalm 107:21 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." That's what the Lord is looking for. It's the thankful heart that will offer up that acceptable sacrifice of praise. Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Well, the psalmist wanted the Lord to accept the offerings of his mouth. And teach me thy judgments. Well, the Word of God teaches us how to approach the Lord. It teaches us what kind of heart we ought to have and what is acceptable in worship unto the Lord. And we'll stop there for tonight. But next time, we're going to consider that the Word of God is our defense. And then thirdly, that it can be our delight. In verse 109, he says, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." Here he's talking about the Word of God being a defense. "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." Literally, he's saying, my heart is in my throat. That's what he's saying there. My heart is in my throat. Verse 110, he says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet have I not erred from thy precepts." He was scared to death, is what he's talking about. His danger was real. He was afraid, but the Word of God gave him confidence that quieted his fears. And this is where we're going to go with this. The Word of God can be a defense for us against all of those internal struggles and fears that we have. You know, the Word of God can be a defense against your anxiety. We can get overwhelmed in our anxieties, but not when we're taking them to the Lord and applying God's Word. It's a defense. And then we're going to talk about how the Word of God can be our delight. In verse 111, he says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart." The psalmist states in verse 112, "I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even to the end." He states here that he's inclined his heart to keep and perform the will of God through the Word of God. And he says that the Word of God is this treasure to him that brings rejoicing to his heart. You know, when we delight in the Word of God and we see it for the treasure that it is for our own soul, we're going to be really consistent then in the way that we live it. When we understand the treasure that it is. And that's going to have a pretty profound impact on the quality of life that we actually live here. Proverbs 6:23, again, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee." It's how we have the right path, the right road to end up in the right place. Amen? And we have the lamp for our feet, so that we can navigate those steps along the way. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to delight in it, to rejoice in it, to love it, to appreciate it, Lord, then to live by it, and Lord, to especially apply it, to not be like those that James talks about who are hearers only, who deceive themselves, but Lord, to actually be doers. It's disturbing when you talk the talk and say all the right things, but never actually do what you're saying. It's not respectable. And it's not helpful in our own life. We just end up deceiving ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to, like the psalmist, have a determination. The Word of God gives me light. It gives me the path. Now I'm determined that I'm going to obey it. That's why God gives it to me, so that I might come into conformity, because that's going to lead me to the right end. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see it from this practical perspective, and then get busy engaging with these principles and these truths that you've given to us in your Word. We love you, and we thank you for your goodness to us. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.